Today's Old Testament reading comes from the 24th Psalm, chapters 1 through 10. Please listen for the word of the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it, for he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who did not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The New Testament reading comes from 1 John, 2nd chapter, verses 29 through 3.3. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who does right has been born of him. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and what it is, what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, and for we will see him as he is, and all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. O Lord God, this is a precious gift you've given us in your Holy Scripture. As we open it this morning, and reflect upon it, may your Spirit guide my words and all of our thoughts so that it may be pleasing in your sight. Amen. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, right? For grown-ups, it is a day to celebrate your love for someone special. For children, it is a day to exchange little Valentines with the other kids in the class. Now, I don't remember exchanging Valentines when I was in the lower grades. But I do remember exchanging Valentines when I was in fifth grade. I remember because I wasn't all that thrilled with it. I didn't mind giving out Valentines as long as my mom would let me get, shall I call them boyish Valentines? You know, the ones with trucks or spaceships on it. No, my real problem with Valentine's Day was getting Valentines from the girls. Girls' Valentines were all frilly and lacy and had all sorts of pink hearts all over it. And the girls would sign their Valentines by turning the O's into hearts or dotting the I's with little hearts. It was all too much for my fifth grade boy's sensibility. I hope I handle Valentine's Day much better now. I will even draw my own little hearts from time to time. Valentine's Day and hearts, they go together, don't they? And February is Heart Healthy Month also. And so there's a lot of heart stuff going on this time of year, which makes it appropriate that in my sermon series on the Beatitudes I'm doing this winter, this week's Beatitude would be, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." You know, the heart is a wonderful mechanism. It runs night and day, sending thousands of gallons of blood through the body. It's the engine that runs the body. And of course, we couldn't live without it. But humans see heart as something more than just a biological function. And perhaps that is because the heart seems to respond to any sort of emotional stimulation, doesn't it? Someone jumps out and surprises you and you feel your heart freeze, right? For a split second. If you spot the love of your life across the room, you feel your heart jump. When you see your grandchild for the first time, you are sure your heart is going to burst. If you are watching an exciting ending to a close game, you feel your heart pounding. And if you get some sad news, you feel it in right there in your chest, don't you? And your heart is heavy. So it is small wonder that we see that the heart is the center of our emotions. But it's more than just that. In the biblical writer's concept of the heart was the depository of all human possibility, personality and possibility. All of human personality was reflected in the heart, including one's own will and character, as well as those emotions. And it was just in this vein that Jesus told his disciples, the good person out of good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of evil treasure produces evil, for it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. That was recorded by Luke. To the Hebrew mind, the heart is where all emotions, prejudices, and wisdom converge. As Christian writer Max Lucado puts it, it's a switch house that receives freight cars loaded with moods, ideas, emotions, convictions, and puts them all on the right track. Or, if our heart isn't pure, on the wrong track. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Jesus knew this understanding of the heart and made it central to what the Beatitudes are all about. We will see God when we are pure of heart. This particular Beatitude recalls Psalm 24 that John read this morning. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully. In this beatitude, Jesus was claiming the twofold nature of the psalmist, that a pure heart includes our outer actions that one displays, and in the case of the psalmist, it's not swearing deceitfully, and the inner person behind those actions. In this case, the psalmist not tying their souls to what is false. In the New Testament, purity is not only linked to cleanliness, it is also used to refer to the purity of metals, as unalloyed, as in Revelation, where heaven is described as being made of pure gold, without any contaminants. Christian writer William Barclay uses this idea to paraphrase this particular beatitude. Blessed is the man whose motives are unmixed, for that man shall see God. And the Danish theologian Soren Kierkegaard wrote about this verse, purity of heart is to will one thing. The pure heart has only one thing guiding it, and it is the will of God. Jesus wants this sort of purity for our hearts. Only that is hard to do in today's world, isn't it? We have so much to distract us from any sort of singleness of purpose, never mind distracting us from God. Of course, single-mindedness of purpose takes a level of self-reflection to ask ourselves, what are our motivations? What is our focus in this matter? It is this self-awareness that led the great Christian writer and preacher John Bunyan to respond to someone who had just complimented him on that Sunday's sermon by saying, "The devil already told me that as I was coming down the pulpit steps." Yeah. I've never said that myself. Maybe I will now. John Bunyan, this was John Bunyan's way of saying that he needed to constantly remind himself that he was preaching for God, not himself. This beatitude requires this sort of self-reflection. What are we doing? What are the inner motivations for even the good actions we think we're doing? But then, isn't that always a problem for us? We let ourselves get in the way of following God's way, don't we? Isn't all our sin a form of this truth? Stealing is taking something we want, even though God commands us to do otherwise. But we don't really steal, do we? Well, we might fudge on our taxes a bit, but that's just a small amount, isn't it? The Bible says we are not to speak evil about others, and we don't do that, do we? But that joke we just told was funny, and if it offended someone, then that's their problem, isn't it? The Bible tells us that we are to do justice, and we do that all the time. We take care of others. We treat others well, and everybody the same. So why should we be concerned about racism in our society? Yet in our busy worlds, we don't think about these things, do we? Or at least we don't think about them often enough or most more thoroughly enough. But this is what Jesus is saying in this beatitude. The pure heart is unalloyed, uncontaminated by worldly concerns. The focus is constantly on what God wants, not what we want. And yet the question comes to mind, how is this even possible? The great preacher George Buttrick said that this beatitude is the most inaccessible of the beatitudes. But then that is the reality of sin. It is part of all of our lives, and we struggle against it constantly. And yet in that struggle is great reward. While Paul tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we all know Christians who have found a focus on Christ, and that is inspiring for the rest of us. They may not be sinless, but they manage to keep their focus on God even as they struggle with sin. It is this focus that helps us gain purity of heart. As the hymn writer put it, when we turn our eyes to Jesus, all other claims will grow strangely dim. The Message Bible translates this particular beatitude in a unique way. It says that blessed are those that get their inner lives right, for then they will see God in their outer lives. Christian writer J. Ellsworth Callis puts it, Jesus Christ is the great fascination. Given half a distance, he captures us. And with him, we get the singleness and the wholeness of life that makes for purity of heart. Seeing him, we see God. Our passage from the first letter of John says it in a different way. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and we will, and what we will be has not been revealed. What we do know is this, that when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as they are pure. How do we purify? How do we achieve purity of heart? By remembering this truth from John, that we are God's children, loved beyond our understanding. And that when we can respond to that love, we are in the process of purifying ourselves. If we can keep that truth in front of us, we can navigate through all the difficult world, all the sinful temptations, all the many distractions. And when we do, we will see God. Amen.